A couple minutes ago, we heard a brief history of overtime laws in this country. But with millions of people set to receive overtime benefits, maybe for the first time, we want to talk about how this change could have actually affected the economy and the job market and unemployment rates. Joining us now is Michael Connell. He's an economics writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
So there's two arguments here on overtime. But can we step a little bit further back and talk about why this is a priority for the Obama administration?
Well, I think they see this in two different ways. On one sense, it's a matter of fairness from their perspective that people are working more hours than 40, and that they ought to be compensated. But a lot of people are paid on salary, and so if you get a $25,000 or $30,000 salary and you go working 40, 50, 60 hours and you don't get any more money, there's something unfair about that. But on the other hand, I think they see a kind of economic benefit as well. Well, I'm sure there are political factors as well, but I'm not qualified to talk about the politics. The economic factors are that they expect are that more money in the hands of more people of modest means is going to go right back into the economy,
the
and that's going
up.
To be good. Something like
kind
that.
Of the
I mean, it's
up.
I mean, in a crude sense, it's what they would call Keynesian economics. But
yeah.
You put the money into the hands of people who are going to spend it, and it will get spent, as opposed to giving money to people who may save it or invest it in some way.
Okay. So a lot of this hinges on whether you are exempt or non-exempt. So a non-exempt person already gets overtime. And are we changing the definition of who qualifies for exempt or non-exempt?
Well, only, I think, to the extent that I understand it, only as a matter of the level of the pay. That
the income.
In essence, that the ceiling for getting overtime is moving from roughly $24,000 to a year to about $50,000 a year. So you're going to increase the number of people. If nothing else changed, and obviously a lot of things are going to change, but if nothing else changed, the number of people who would be included in overtime rules would go up by about 5 million plus.
This has already been the recommendation it has been made by the Department of Labor. Is this basically a done deal?
Well, it's a done deal in the sense that it's really up to the Department of Labor and the current administration. But you may have heard that there's a political campaign going on, and there's going to be a new president in January with a new administration.
I haven't heard about that. Well,
you should read the newspaper, Celeste.
So what you're saying is that even if, and we're assuming that because President Obama asked the Department of Labor to investigate this, that the Department of Labor will make the recommendation as they have, and that he will sign it. But what it sounds like you're implying that if we get a different president who disagrees with that, they might rescind that rule
well,
change?
Well, I think that anything that's done administratively within an administration can be undone by the next administration. So I think that's, in fact, that is one of the factors that will play in how this thing affects the economy and how it affects employers. Because if you're an employer right now, even if it were to go in effect tomorrow, you really don't know if it's going to be in effect 7, 8, 12 months from now. 2 years from now, you really don't know. And predictability is a major factor in how you plan your business and how you deploy your employees.
So what is the effect? I mean, I'm not necessarily into the arguments of we can't afford this, that which is coming from business and those particular arguments. But we do have a huge problem with income inequality in the United States. And it's been getting vastly worse since the Great Recession. So is this kind of rule change, giving people more access or making more people eligible for overtime, would that in any way affect the income inequality gap?
If all else is equal, if nothing else were to change other than people's eligibility for pay, the answer is yes. There would be more money going from owners and capital into the hands of people of relatively modest means. But a lot of things can change. And one of the things that I find fascinating about this is that this really is the biggest change in overtime since 1938. But the U.S. economy has changed radically since 1938. And in 1938, most of the economy was either rural or very much an hour-by-hour factory kind of employment. And we're just a very different economy right now. So it's a kind of real-time experiment, and I don't think we really know exactly how it's going to play out.
Although one of the changes has been the huge growth in pay for the top management, as opposed to really kind of lackluster growth in pay for those in the middle and bottom of the scale. But what I really wanted to ask was, let's say this role goes in, as everyone expects it to, and the next president is a Democrat, and nobody expects either Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton to rescind this particular rule change. So let's say all those things happen, this is all hypothetical, and this overtime change becomes effective and permanent. What are the options for an employer? Does this mean they either have to start paying all those people overtime, or they have to lift their salary up above $50,000 or so?
Well, I think that's the fascinating question here on a case-by-case basis. That is that the overall macro effect is going to be dependent on the millions of small individual decisions by business owners, and each of them is going to make a very different or could make a very different call. If you have a pretty high profit margin, you might not hesitate, and it may be a big business, you might not hesitate for a moment to just pay the overtime and move on, and it wouldn't affect your business very much. If you have a small business and your profit margin is razor thin and you're not sure of where your demand is coming from, you might very well hesitate. But there's lots of ways to avoid the higher costs if that's your goal as an employer. You could, maybe there are ways to automate the business, and so you might use your employees fewer hours because you can use machines. That, I guess, wouldn't be so good for the employees as far as their pay, but they would no longer be working unpaid overtime. But there may be more efficient ways to use employees. We all know, I think we all have known employers who were not hesitant to use you extra hours without knowing whether or not, or not caring whether or not you're very efficient, if they're not paying you extra. So if you were forced to pay overtime, and of course enforcement is all different issues, but if you're forced to pay overtime, you might think more carefully about whether you're getting more productivity out of your workers by working them extra, and it might be good for everybody.
That's Michael Cannell, an economics writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Michael, thank you.
Thank you, Celeste.